right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes, the finale. The end of a great journey. My name is Joe, and I'm, of course, your handler for this operation. I'm joined by very good friends. I'm joined by Jean, playing Benedict.
Hello.
I'm joined by Hank, playing...
Yo.
Or, sorry, not by Hank. I've lost the plot already. Brad has ceased
I am
to be...
Hank.
It is only Hank. We're joined by Brad, playing Hank. And then, of course, by Dace, playing the one and only Busiek.
For the last time.
For the last time.
Hey, guys.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm not saying that these agents that you've been playing over 2.5 years, like, I'm not saying that they're going to be irreparably damaged if they do somehow survive. I don't want you to think that, like, at all. Like, don't even think that for a moment, okay?
I was really hoping I could use the 70-year-old character for another campaign.
You guys. Oh, speaking of the age of your characters, real quick, I wanna make sure it was evident for those. We have a bunch of people live here with us today, which I'm really glad to see you all. But on the page earlier, we had this incredible art. I'm switching it over to the live now so you guys can see it again. Incredible art piece by KT.
It's so
phenomenal.
Fucking cool.
Oh my god. Just like
massive claps.
Just massive claps. And just like KT's other stuff. And by the way, and this is not something we asked KT for. Like, she just threw it out there on the Reddit.
Just did it.
Insanely good.
What I love about just like a KT's other stuff for like when we commissioned the character portraits, the more you look at it, the more you see.
Yeah.
You know, the more references
like,
to other stuff.
Where's Waldo level of detail?
Oh my
like,
god.
Yeah.
So
down
good.
To the angle grinders
jokes.
In the pile.
I already said this to you. She could tell she's listening because I'm not entirely sure if Day said that he had a doll like face over his crotch, but she painted that
up.
In there. Oh, it's come up. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Did.
She was listening close to me. I was like, she's so honed into Busiek. She already knows. She put the placement of everything.
Paying attention.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm not kidding. Like the Furbies and the grinders in the detritus at the bottom is so funny. Like, I just... so good.
Yeah. This one is literally going on my wall. She's going to send it to me.
Yeah.
Which is very rad. And thank you again, KT.
Just absolutely.
The special props for actually like bringing the toaster holster to life.
Yes. And the toaster holster
is
present.
I've done a bit of myself.
Appreciates that.
Oh my God. So good. But yeah. And
I think Brad loves that joke.
Yeah.
It's always with the toasters of this guy.
And of course, thank you, Dorchester resident, for joining us in the live chat. It's good
you
to
escaped.
Have
you. Congratulations.
Congratulations, they're coming. You should run. But yeah, guys, how's it feel to be here right at the end? The beginning of the
I gotta be honest, I'm a little bit nervous and I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
This one feels different.
It's been a while. We have been doing this for about 2.5 years. We started, I think, the first episode went live in like October of 23, and it is now June of 25.
Look at how much we've grown.
Or is it 22? Whatever it is.
Since then.
Look how little we've grown. That's the impressive part.
I think expanded is an accurate term.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
We're all 30 pounds heavier.
Right. So, real quick, and this is, again, if you're listening later, bear with us here before we get back into things. You guys live with us over in the Twitch chat. I actually have something for you real quick that we want to run by you.
It's his penis.
We're getting banned. It's my dick. We wanted to put together a t-shirt or something to kind of commemorate the end of it, but also just to have something. We want to do something that maybe we'll sell these, but we definitely want to send them to our Patreon subscribers. For free, right?
Katie gets an entire container worth of these.
Well, one of us recently got a shipping container, so we might be able to...
That's true.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, but we want to run this by you guys here real quick. We have two t-shirt designs, and I want you guys, I'm going to run a poll here real quick, and I want you guys to pick, but we might cut this out of the audio version, but I just want you guys to take a peek at these and decide which of these. I'm going to start a poll.
Where are you putting this on Twitch?
It's on the Twitch. Yep.
We don't get to vote, Brad. Damn. This is the rules. Yeah, we've never had any voting rights here.
Both designs clarity. Lovingly crafted by our very own handler, mm-hmm. I might add.
Yeah.
It looks really impressive.
Very, very much.
I think the poll is working correctly. I think.
App to watch.
Well, yeah, let me know. Let's just see how it goes.
Which design do you prefer for a shirt? Yes, I'm seeing that.
Yep, okay. As long as you can see them and vote on them. Excellent. Yeah, we'll just run this for a minute. And yeah, just take a peek at those. Like I said, for our patrons, we wanna get y'all, I'll message you, and we're going to get your addresses and send these to you free. And then we might have them for sale at a different time. But again, just the end of our time here in Possible Landscapes. And we want to, especially those of you who have made it, who have helped us pay for the fees to host the podcast and stuff like that, we want to give something back to you. The form of this, and we just so happen to have two people who work in a t-shirt shop, so you know,
we'll them's facts
to, them's facts. But yeah,
my question was, Joe, yeah. So this is going to be the back of the shirt, and then the front's going to have a pocket with like Greenbox Gaming. Is that the plan?
We can do something like that, you know, or this can just be the front, you know, can this just be something we just give out to people? I think I prefer this just kind of being on the front, just being front and center.
That's what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah. We don't have to promote. We don't have to put our faces on stuff.
Like, I feel like these are more back prints. Well, okay, here's my thought. I feel like the beautiful Visit Beautiful Carcosa is like a back print, and I want you to see it as more of a front print. Not to overcomplicate things, but that's where it looks like in my mind, because it's the Visit Beautiful Carcosa.
We can talk about it.
We'll talk about it now.
We should not have opened this Pandora's box of t-shirt expert cheese.
Not going to move on until we resolve this.
No, we have to know.
Fine.
But yeah, awesome t-shirts. Good job, Joe.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I'm glad you guys like them. And yeah, we'll just run these for just a bit. But while we are running that, and while the poll is ticking down, maybe we'll roll back and or come back and talk about it here in a bit. Let's go ahead and transition over to our recap and start getting into it. How about that, guys?
Good.
That was the most blunt transition you've ever given, and I kind of liked it.
Okay. This is the time for blunt, meaningful action. Here at the finale.
Really solemn transition. Really solemn, sincere.
You guys. What is left of Imcel and Busiak, if we want to consider him a part of it, have transitioned the final time out of the city into the palace. Now, last time, the episodes that have not gone live yet, those were a bit of a side thing that we did last time. And boy, was that fun.
Hell yeah, it was.
We're not going to talk about that. The last two episodes that are going, they're coming out in the next 2 weeks, mint, but not actually a part of this story. Actually, a side story to Impossible Landscapes that I think you're going to like. The last time we met with these guys, you guys, Imcel, Benedict, Hank, and Benji, 1995, get drawn into the McAllister building, get drawn in to investigate the disappearance of this girl, Abigail Wright, the McAllister building, 1995, New York City. You guys get pulled into the unnatural world of the night floor, realizing that this entire apartment complex and all the people in it have been drawn into the King in Yellow. You guys do your job. You destroy this vector of the infection to the best of your ability, including, which I still to this day think is a bit of a masterstroke, taking the last residents that you did have and shoving them into the night floor before you burn down the McAllister building. Which is probably about the best thing.
I don't know if that was sarcastic or not.
No.
Okay, you're being serious.
I think it was very efficient. Then you guys get called back in 2015. You get called back by someone you think is Delta Green, who ends up not being Delta Green. It ends up being someone, Dr. Elias Barbus, also known as Marbus, who has been corrupted themselves by the King in Yellow, and pull you into the Dorchester under the false guise of finding missing Delta Green agents. You guys kind of see through it eventually. You investigate Marbus Barbus. You go to Vegas. You come back. You eventually get pulled back into the Dorchester house and trapped in the night world. You overcome everything there. You know, meeting people like King Bael, Mr. Wild, you know, the various people within the night world. And eventually descending to the deeper back, almost back to the night floors, to then escape the clown, which damn near killed Hank. Guys, come back out, and you find that you are now on the run in Boston, and that the more you run, and the longer you go, as you guys go from Boston to Chicago to track down this vector of the King in Yellow, the veil between this world and Carcosa is getting thinner and thinner and thinner as you go, until finally you have a running gunfight with these damn masked gunmen, the Static Team, who are running you down, trying to destroy you. You guys go through the Broad Albin, descend down to the Whispering Labyrinth, discover the bottle of J.C. Lenz, lose one of yours along the way, Benji. Get Busiak. You find Busiak stumbling around in the Mad Max mode in the Whispering Labyrinth himself. You guys come to Carcosa, to the destroyed city. You come back down. You go down through the Lake of Hali to the war-torn city, through the war zone, into the Silent City. And in through the... You find Ambrose at the boardwalk. He takes you to the Gallery of Shades. You guys find your masks, your costumes, and a gift for the king, which I think has been destroyed now, actually.
It's lost. It's gone.
And the last thing that happened is you guys...
Would you say it's toast?
Oh. Negative joking. Negative joking.
Take psychic damage.
But you guys take a short reprieve at a familiar coffee shop before heading to the palace, getting admission, walking up the grand stairs. And that... where we are going to begin. So, very briefly, keep it short, you sons of bitches. Very briefly, you guys are walking up these marble staircases, the lion-masked guards in their beautiful, you know, like parade uniforms with halberds in one hand, halberds in their left hands and their right hands resting on their pistols, are opening these huge doors. Benedict, what's going through your mind just in this moment?
Benedict is tired. He's got creaky knees as he's going up the stairs one by one. He's feeling his age, but he's also feeling his futility in this moment, and just taking the next step towards whatever the hell is coming up next.
It could be anything. What about Busiak?
So he's closer to a breaking point than he's ever been before, but he's still really stubborn. I think, like, the closer he gets to drinking the Kool-Aid, the stronger his resolve also gets. Like, he's just laser focused, you know, where's Rich, next step, gotta take the next step, can't think about all this crazy shit, just get the job done. Because he's fucking capable and tough and a whole lot of dude.
I'm reading my distinguishing
features.
All right. He's laser focused. Just something we're so good at. Hank. What's Hank going through right now?
I think similar to Benedict, he's like 100... fucking years old at this point, so he's like tired, bones creaking going up the steps.
You guys are in your 60s. But...
68. The dead. So 68. Okay. But unlike Busiak, I don't think Hank is laser focused anymore. Like, he does still want to find Abigail, and I think he would, you know, kind of snap out of it and remember how this all started, but I think he's just kind of like, you know, he's almost like he's forgotten about the world beyond Carcosa, like what he was, what even going back. I don't know if he even thinks he's going back. It's almost like he's like accepted that he's like some part of some story, and he's kind of just like eager to see what's next.
Yeah.
Eager-ish. Like, you know, eager-ish. Still like and he's four away from a breaking point, but we still have we're still keeping track of that like sanity loss, right, that we haven't been losing, pile. Which is 11 for Hank. So if that happens, that will be
wow. That's concerning.
What is your
I have a joke.
Oh, good. So that's gonna fix it.
He's at 36, and his breaking point is 32.
Yeah, and you've got 11 on hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got 3 on hold, and I'm the same distance away from my breaking right. point. So yeah.
No way, you've only got 3.
In the sanity loss pile.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I've got 9.
I had some heroes like saving me regularly, so
yeah, by Benedict not taking the lead in a lot of stuff and sending you guys out there. So.
Let's just call it strategy.
Exactly. Alright, Benedict is first and he's in front of us right now.
He's taking point.
He just watches I'll also have a joke. Both of you guys like slow down a little bit. He's at the apex of this.
No wonder Benedict's saying stuff like, let's scalpel the tickets, let's do all this crazy stuff. Let's pick right. up toasters and throw them at people. He's like, got nothing to lose.
I'm going to throw it. He's going to gift it.
Yeah.
He's sitting pretty.
So, okay, so you guys then are heading up the stairs. You get up and... As opposed to the streets, which are dark, it's always kind of that dark, kind of on the dark side of twilight, you know, in the Silent City since you've been there. When you get to the top of the stairs, the light just spills out, and it is like a brilliant, warm, golden light, you know, and it just like, and like a moth to flame almost, you can feel yourself being just like, drawn up toward it, like, or maybe even you two, as you're feeling the weight of your years and the weight of everything you've been through on your shoulders, like you even feel like lighter, like drawn up a little bit, you know, as you go up these beautiful steps. You get to the top and you see that there is a big entry antechamber, and you see that there is you see that there are several guards and they have some velvet ropes set up. And to be frank, it really reminds you of, like, a TSA checkpoint. Like, not that it's, like, a snaking line, necessarily, but it's, like, they're definitely... You see that there are some people there, and there are some people appear to be waiting in line to be kind of patted down. And I will say that as you guys are... It's... Jesus. Fear the Truck says, toaster checkpoint. That's
oh no.
nice. You guys see these guards, and there are a few people, and the difference is like you see the people outside, you know, on first look, the folks waiting outside, they looked opulent and resplendent in their clothes, but they were kind of ratty. But everyone in here, like their stuff is all really nice. Like is genuinely really nice. It looks like all the people you see, the guests, they all have kind of those half masks, you know, that just cover their, like, from their nose and eyes. And they're wearing, like, very, very turn-of-the-century, like, finery, and maybe even almost, like, Renaissance-level finery. It's like there's a sudden kind of style shift. And you three get some eyeballs
masks.
With your wacky mask and stuff. But one of the... one of the guards, he kind of brings you over to the side, like he doesn't want you to go through the line. And you see that over in the other line, you see two of you have seen this face before. You have seen this face in pictures, and one of you especially knows this man exactly. And Benedict, can you roll me a sanity check real quick?
Got it. Six. 20 and 39.
Okay, you can take one sanity damage for your side pile. Your extra right. Small side pile, apparently. Back in 1995, a man walked up behind you and gave you a note. Everything before that moment was normal. No Delta Green, no King in Yellow. A man in a suit and a trilby hat. Older guy, mustache. You guys have seen pictures since and know him to be a man by the name of Emmett Bixby. He is fucking standing in line. And he's got a mask and a ridiculous, like, puffy collared kind of outfit. And he seems to be talking in Tartesian to a guy who is dressed like some type of harlequin. You know, like some type of, like, performer. Who is very obviously drinking out of a lute. In that the lute is like a concealed flask, like someone's trying to smuggle alcohol into a football game,
but it's in a lute.
But it's like in a lute, and the guy like brings the lute, like the neck of the lute up to his lips, and drinks it. And Mosby's talking to this guy, and so, you are shocked to see him here, Benedict. Like he was there at the beginning, your very beginning.
Are we walking past him?
You can.
This isn't the same guy that was in the night floors that was offering us drinks, right? This is someone different than that.
No, was a, I believe that was a, what do you call it? A waiter.
No, there was a guy we talked to in the night floors at the very
beginning. Mark Rourke.
No,
this isn't Rourke.
Mark
okay.
Rourke, yep.
Different guy.
Yeah. I see a picture of Mosby on our murder board, but I'm trying to remember who told Hank about him first.
Okay. So I don't think I'd ever recognized him before. So I think he will, I don't know, Benedict will maybe peel off or start walking towards him. You, I know you.
He turns from the guy he's talking to. He's like, ah, and he says in English, he's like switches from Tartesian English. He's like, oh, a Brit. I didn't think I'd see one of you guys in here.
You recognize who I am?
He's like, he kind of, you know, he seems to know. He's like, oh, no, I'm afraid not, friend. That's just waiting to get in line. Just waiting for Dedescu to finish off his damn drink so we can go inside. You know, he says in English, Adam.
Telling the truth.
Tedescu?
So I succeeded on the human to maybe see if he's telling the truth. Does he not recognize me?
You don't think he recognizes you, but at the same time, maybe just as you first came up and spoke to him, there was like a moment, like a flash, but then it was gone. Like, and you've seen this before. You've seen this in people infected. King in Yellow. You
so
saw
I think
it
he'll probably
Argus. You saw it in someone else. Dallin, Dr. Dallin. You saw it in Dr. Dallin.
Hank will come over to Benedict and kind of put a hand on his shoulders like, Benedict, I don't know if we should make a scene in this place. Know these fellows?
No, I think he's the man that got me into this whole mess, but I don't think it's him. I don't think it's him, Hank. We can move on. But what's your friend there? What's your friend's name there?
Ah, this is Tedescu. I met him in line. Great guy. Funny guy. Got lots to drink.
Tedescu, you wanna grab a sip of your loot?
This guy is very obviously drunk. Like, very, very drunk. Like, cheeks are red under his, like, half mask. And he, like, very, like, theatrically looks left and right. Like, and kind of sides up to you and like, you know, like he, like he's gonna sneak you a drink, right?
This giant loot around his neck. Right. I think Benedict will probably take a sip. Be like, well, cheers, boys. We will see you on the other side.
It's just wine.
It's just wine.
We'll take this opportunity maybe to ask. So, while Benedict is taking a drink, you fellas ever been into this place before?
No, waiting to get in. We're just in line here, waiting to go in, yeah.
So y'all have never been inside past these gates?
Well, not yet. We're on our way. Party's gonna get started here soon.
You don't have an itinerary or know what exactly is gonna happen? Some kind of
schedule
or something?
Well, at midnight, the king is gonna come.
Midnight, huh?
What happened? What happens when the king comes?
Well, it's a celebration. Fireworks and shit, I guess. I mean, it's just a party, for Christ's sakes. You guys are overthinking it.
Do you have the time limit?
Yeah, does Hank see a clock around, or...?
Probably not. He's like, there's plenty of time. Plenty of time till the end.
I don't like the way he said that.
I don't like this man. He turns to Hank. I don't like this man.
Anyway, we got some fast passes, so we're just going to sort of cut in front of you. Bye.
He turns to Tedescu, and you hear he talks in Tartesian again, but you can definitely hear fast pass. And Tedescu's like, oh, okay, fast pass.
Fast pass. And my friend here, he motions to Benedict, is handicapped. So we'll just be going to the very front of the line. Thank you. Yeah. Please and thank you.
He had his hip replaced by a giant toaster. Right. Not as mobile as he used to be.
He's on a... we're on a make-a-wish mission.
I have no idea what you were talking about.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, so we'll see you on the other side. Have fun. Grab a dance. Dance a jig for me. The Charleston. Or whatever else they dance from when I'm from.
Oh my right. God, let's just walk out of the range of this man right now.
Let's go away.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No! Stop lighting the dynamite.
So we cut to the front of the line.
Yeah, so you guys cut to the front of the line. Well, you don't really cut to the front of the line. It seems like these guys are kind of standing to the side. And one of the guards, you know, is kind of like, he's like, you know, come over here, like, I'm free. You know, like, I'll check you. He is going to go through a few different languages before he lands on English to you guys. And he's going to say, he's going to tell you, he's like, oh, we have to search you. We have to search you. No weapons. No weapons.
Damn. Shit.
Dynamite isn't technically a weapon, is it?
No.
Okay, right on. Hank will be like, alright, let me get situated. I'm gonna I wanna see if there's a way around this checkpoint. Somehow, like, what should I roll for that, Joe? I don't think Hank doesn't want to give up the weapons. Yeah.
You're gonna have to. You can try to hide them. You can try to stash them, I guess. If you want.
Benedict still has 3 standard purchases remaining. You can try to slip them.
This guy.
Yeah.
What do you mean standard?
Oh.
I'll take Hank's lead though, but we'll see.
What are you trying to?
You think your money's good here? Huh?
Oh.
He's gonna try to bribe him. I love that idea.
It's an option.
I mean, you are good at,
you are supposedly charisma, right? Good.
Don't mention T at
theoretically,
all, but...
on paper.
You know what? I used to be good at charisma, and then I got something to the knee, but, it's not very good anymore.
Okay, first, I like this idea a lot, but what should I roll to see if there's a way around the checkpoint?
It'd be hard. It'd be real hard. If you want to roll some type of alertness to see if you can intuit a way around,
I'm just gonna do that just for option's sake.
Okay.
Success. 5 under 82.
I'm gonna tell you what you see. You think that if you were to, you think that there's no way to get in, and the courtyard around this place is being constantly patrolled. You don't think you could like go back out and throw a weapon over without it being found, right, or something like that, like to throw it over the fence. And as far as coming in, I mean, it is pretty locked up tight, and no one is really being allowed to cross over these ropes without going through one of these guards first. But you, so I will tell you with this, with you look over to Tedescu, you know, and he's got this this loot, you know, like if you could hide something within something else, you know, like maybe, you know, and they vary, and you even see, it's like, you know, there might be, you see someone else in line, maybe, you know, they ask for weapons, and you see like a big bosomed woman like reach between her cleavage and pull out like a tiny Derringer and like hand it to like one of the guards or something like that. And it's like, and you can see that, like, but people, there are like men walking in who definitely have like sabers on their hips and stuff. It definitely seems to be a firearm focused.
Yeah. Hmm. So,
but you think that if you could conceive of a way to store something, you don't think you're gonna be able to get a long gun in this place.
Yeah.
Might here's be able what, to hide something a little smaller.
Here's what Hank has. He has a heavy pistol, an M4, medical kit, 2 uses left, burner cell phone, a club, and 9 sticks of dynamite.
Okay.
Shit.
They're waiting for you, you know.
Well, I'll relay all this to Benedict and Busiak. Like, I don't know if there's any way around this checkpoint. You said you got some money on you, Benedict?
Yep, still have my art money.
Maybe.
Don't worry, Hank, I've got this.
Oh, God.
And he pushes him out the way. This is my family. Nice.
Hold on.
Good day. Good day. Shush, Hank, I got this. Good day. What are you looking for at the moment? What is a weapon?
Oh, God.
What is, how you say weapon in your language?
I can speak your language.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to connect with you, my friend. No, not at all. Would you say, and he brandishes like his whatever 3 stacks of money. Would you say, like in a covert way? Would you say these are weapons?
You're gonna have to really blow this out of the water, man. Like,
how about a persuade?
Persuade. Oh, KT's here.
Hey,
that's critical success.
It is not.
Holy shit, John.
It is not.
My man.
Okay. Yeah. I got no access
to
this.
So we roll on roll 20. Oh my fucking God, it's a 22.
It's a 22. Holy dude. Shit. Benedict.
Oh my fucking God.
I come through, guys.
You
I come
guys
through when
have
it matters.
Given
that's
a
why I
lot
got
of
it.
Shit. For not being good at persuading people.
I take it back.
So
take it all back.
3 piles of money. Oh. Like, going to this man, would you consider these a weapon?
There is, like, this lion mask, this golden lion mask covers his entire face, you know, except for the eyes, right? So you can see the eyes. And, you know, and this guy, you know, he has very, you know, like dark brown eyes, and you see the eyes narrow at you, and they flick down to the money, but then they go down to the money, like, oh, like this is a wad of money, because like this is like a few thousand dollars in American money, right? Yes. He's like, and it kind of stays there for, oh, shit, we lost Brad.
Oh, we just lost Brad.
Okay, well, sorry, the stream...
You'll be back.
The stream video is going to be jacked up for a sec.
Oh, we're all weird. Should we, like, be in a certain position?
Everyone be to the side. Hank is hauled away by the guards. and you see one of the
Holy
guards
shit.
And you see one of the guards is snapping on a long glove. Far too long.
We could try to save him. I think we should just let it lie. I think Hank's gonna be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's not his first rodeo. So you guys, he looks at this wad of money, and you see that they have, like, there's a table, and, like, behind them there's, you know, someone taking things to a back room, and it looks like they are putting, like, name tags and kind of giving you, like, a coat ticket for things that they're confiscating. Almost like you get your guns when you leave kind of thing, right? He takes this, and he kind of takes it, and he turns and, like, coughs. And when he does, he, like, sticks the money in his jacket, like...
It's just a giant bulge of whatever, how many thousand dollars.
Right, and he leans forward to you. Is he coming back?
Internet checking on him.
Up. Okay.
Is it? Okay.
Okay, he'll be back eventually.
Man, the murder hobo in me, here's... that all the guns are stored in the coat check.
Internet,
and I'm like, we could all get right. We could get so many guns.
No, yeah. So
all the guns are there.
So he rolled a critical? He rolled a critical.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
He stashes this wad, and he's going to lean forward. He says, maybe pistols. Do not think you can get back. Yeah, so the guards, after walking Hank away for a body cavity search, the guards bring him back, you know, walking a little funny as he comes. But they tell you, he's like, yes, and he leans forward, he's like, your larger guns only. Friends of the king, of course.
Eyes.
Can't believe Hank
take my axe.
Can Hank take one stick of dynamite?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to care about the dynamite whatsoever.
Oh. All right.
Like, you even go, like, should I give you these? He's like, weapons only.
That's very confusing. All right, I guess we go through. So we lose our bigger weapons.
Yeah, whatever your weapons are. Now for
tactical shotguns.
Now for Busiak, for this axe.
Okay, I can make a case. Okay, so I'll talk to the guard. So I noticed a lot of folks walking in there with, like, sabers. In my culture, this axe is kind of like a status symbol. It's like a saber to my people. You understand?
Someone in the chat had said this, and I'm gonna steal it. I'm sorry. He points over to the sign that says "No outside food, drink, or axes."
No, God damn it! That does not.
Who the fuck said that in the chat? What's
Tickle.
Their name?
Tickle. You're not supposed to be on Joe's side.
I'm coming at him.
No axe.
I can't. He just. You won't. I can't even roll for it.
You roll a persuade check because Benedict already got a critical. If you get a pass,
that'll be so sad.
Get a crit failure and fine.
This is like one of the things where Joe's like, okay, they'll get past this checkpoint in a couple. And then it turns out.
100%. We're going long today. All right,
this is the episode. We get to the checkpoint.
Today. Yeah, that's a failure. God damn it. I really
it's
don't want
to.
Okay.
He turns around and taps the other sign. That has, like, the no smoking, no pets, no axes. Like, you know, the circle with the slash through it? He's like, listen, that one I cannot... I cannot do it.
Okay. Busiak hands over the axe.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
But we all
Busiak,
have
you'll be fine.
Pistols, right?
Yeah, you all have pistols.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he like gives you everything that he takes from you, your weapons. He like puts a tag on it, and another like a porter comes over and takes them, and he gives you a ticket. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure this is a two way
we'll
journey.
Come back through this game. I'm sure.
Yeah, we're gonna come back.
I'm
for
sure.
These, yeah.
Hold on to your tickets, guys.
All right.
Okay. So you guys move through into the You guys move through, and there is a like a small like outdoor area where it's like you leave this antechamber and go out, and there's almost like a garden, and there's people milling around, and they're like, and again, they rather than the kind of ratty kind of feel, like everything in here is beautiful and opulent. And you see waiters walking around with these trays held up on their shoulders, you know, and like offering people hors d'oeuvres, you know, and people are drinking and laughing. And again, you guys attract a lot of, not like too much attention, you know, but you guys attract attention.
Are we still the only ones with hats on? Head hats. Hat heads.
Masks? What
do you mean? Is masks like the word you're
like
looking
mechanical
for?
Yeah. Masks?
No, our giant things.
Right,
I don't know if they classify as masks. Yeah, are we the only ones with those on?
Roll me an alertness check.
Okay.
This is like, you if you want to be like, the vast majority of people appear to be wearing those half masks, right?
Okay.
Like very simple.
Like masks. A Venetian
right.
mask. All right. That's a success. 57 under 66.
So you're looking around and maybe you don't see it. Maybe you hear it. Maybe because your mask all make these ticking sounds, like as they kind of move, like every time you talk, the jaws articulate, you know, and stuff like that. And of course, the pigeon is constantly kind of twitching back and forth, you know, like moving its head and stuff like that. You guys, maybe you hear someone pass behind you and you hear like a mechanical creaking or something like that. And you turn and you see the back of someone who... maybe they just turn their head just a little bit to look to the side. They're wearing the mechanical mask of a bear. And they're walking away from you. And it seems to be a large man wearing a long cape that like goes almost down to the floor.
I guess Benedict sees that.
So I guess we are fitting in?
Enough, I suppose. No one's like, who the hell are these guys? Get these guys out of here. Like, it's not like that. Just, you stand out.
Okay. Do you point him out?
I don't think so. I think he's just kind of checking that we're still on track and fitting in. Okay. But maybe see this, look back. I don't think he'll think too much about it. Just be like, okay, yeah, we're on track.
Okay, so... so we're through this checkpoint.
See, that's the thing we were supposed to see and go have a 20-minute conversation with.
Right.
Was that... no, not the check.
Nothing to see here. We're fitting in there. Like, this
is not the funny. Coat check attendant.
So... all right.
So there is... there
Jack
this,
and Hank
there
don't
to be
see
this
the
garden.
Guy.
Yeah, you don't see him. Like, again, like, I will say, but... well, to be frank, with Hank, with his level of alertness, like, you probably clock it, too. That is not me trying to force you guys to go do something. I'm just saying, like, you would. You have a very high alertness
well,
skill.
I don't know if Benedict would know what that means. So I don't know if Benedict would know what it means, so I think he wouldn't pay much. He just, like, we're fitting in. Nothing to see here.
Well, Hank will say to everyone, did y'all notice that fella over there has a kind of bigger mask, kind of like ours, this clockwork situation going on?
Does that mean anything to you? Wearing a bear hat?
I mean, you could have came in contact with the same fellow that gave us this get up, I reckon.
Think we ought to talk to him?
Where does he go, Joe?
He looks to be heading over to a table where there's like some type of punch.
Couldn't hurt. I mean,
and imagine
looks
this,
at
you guys
Daisy,
are
or,
you,
looks at
you guys are in this it. Like mildly outside area, and it's pretty shoulder to shoulder out here. Just people kind of milling around in the lantern light, you know, as they drink and talk.
Get out of the way! I got a gun. Looks at his pistol.
I imagine.
You said looks like he's going for punch. I guess I could go for some punch. I don't care about this man or his cape or his bear hat, but I like his punch.
I'm just happy you've taken a liking to something okay. other than
all right.
Let's go talk toasters. To him.
Yeah, let's go talk to him.
Yeah, let's make our way over there.
Okay. If you make your way over there, you... Again, it's like... And the thing is like, as you guys get in here, you hear that there is a lot of people who are talking in English as well, and the... You pick up some bits and pieces here as you're kind of making your way through. People talking about, you know, oh, it's soon the traitorous anarchist will fall and we will break the siege. You know, stuff like that. You know, it's like there's an element of like they know what's going on outside this palace, and they're talking about. And they're like, oh, it's a shame you cannot even get brandy anymore in the city. You know, they're like complaining that they don't have the same level of, you know, opulence that they used to, that the war has really put a damper in their social lives, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh,
is the bear mascot interacting at all?
He has walked over to the table and has poured, you know, like some out of this big silver punch bowl, has poured himself, you know, a drink, and you see him lift up the edge of the mask, because the mask goes all the way down to his chin. He lifts up the edge of the mask to get to his mouth, and you hear, oh, that's good.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit. At that, I think we will recognize him.
But we only know him.
And
this is a mind fuck. So, okay.
I'm trying to think of...
We're in the Axelverse now.
Yeah, Axel's been in so many... I'm trying to think of what Hank's character knows Axel as.
Well, yeah, okay, you guys knew him as the gunrunner in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then you met him later in a green box where you had summoned a demon.
Right. Those are the only two times.
Where Benji had summoned a demon. Busiak doesn't know him at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Benedict, you hear that?
I think he'll hear his voice. He'll hear his voice and be like, Hank, it's Axel. And he kind of walks over and, like, shoulders up next to Axel, you son of a bitch. Good to see you.
He turns and he's like, oh, no. Ooh, I think I know that voice despite that ridiculous pigeon head you've got on. That is, that's none other than...
Give him the big old hug.
Benedict Fudge. Oh, get in here. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh.
Ooh, you sound like me now. Ooh.
Just like, ooh, and it's just like patting on the back and ooh.
Good to see you, mate.
Axel, how'd you end up in such a spot as this? I mean, did you have an invitation as well?
Oh, a bit of a standing invitation, you see. The director got us all invites. Bit of a backstage thing.
Oh, yeah, he's like... demon. Or...
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even as you're looking at him, maybe like he's got this, he's wearing this like, I don't really know what he's dressed as, some type of like noble finery kind of thing. It's very, and he pulls up his mask and he's still the same old Axel underneath, like with the unkempt beard and stuff. He's not wearing sunglasses because he got the mask. You see that hanging around his neck is a big medallion, and it has a demonic sigil on it. That same demonic sigil that Benji had utilized. I don't know if you guys would necessarily know that, because Benji was the one doing it.
I mean, we wouldn't know how to use it, but we'd recognize
a demonic sigil. Yeah, we got a bit of a situation on our hands. We got to, seems like we lost one along the way.
Kind of like, you mean like hesitantly say another demon?
Yeah, old Marbus didn't show up.
Ah.
No, we don't know anything about
Hank,
that.
Hank will start sweating. Why don't let me introduce you to
Punch? See?
Introduce you to our friend here, Busiak. He'll kind of push Busiak forward. This is
Hey, your name's
Axel.
Busiak Bartok, nice to meet you. You feel strangely familiar, but I don't think we've ever met.
I don't think we've met, Axel, but please call me Fergus.
Furcus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Furcus it is.
We're using
official you're like literally
today.
A demon?
He just like pats you on the shoulder. He's about as tall as Busiak. Like, he's a big guy.
Oh, he's also a whole lot of dude.
He's also a whole lot of dude. he's like, whatever you need to make sense of it, my friend. But listen, we've got a big meeting. I just popped out to grab a drink.
Any chance you could do us a solid and get us in on that meeting?
Oh, I'm afraid it's invite only. It's like an employees only thing.
Right.
Not my rules, I'm afraid.
Well, what
why don't you try asking Benedict?
Could really use another crit here.
Listen, you guys go enjoy the party. Me, I gotta go make an appearance. Where you gotta work some stuff out. Maybe I'll come find you later. About that.
That yeah. sounds like you're blowing us off, Axel. That sounds like what you said to us last time.
Last time I allowed you to leave with your lives.
Yeah.
I think we
and
should
look where
draw
we are.
A little difference in what's going on here.
Well, Axel, if you haven't noticed, some of us left with our lives. Others aren't really here.
Yeah, where is Benji, by the way?
Where is Benji, Axel? It's starting to get a little touchy.
Yeah, okay, things haven't been quite a cakewalk for us here, Axel.
Huh. Well, I mean, I guess that sucks, I guess. Anyway, I gotta go. sorry, I don't have time. And he, like, downs his drink and just, like, hands the cup to Hank. He's like, I'll find you guys later. See you in the aftermath. And he just, like,
it
leaves.
It really feels like...
You
know,
did you
like,
say the
you
aftermath?
Meet the...
Yeah.
Not like the after party. Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah, it feels like we just got blown off by the cool kid at the party, like, and we were trying to go to the cool kid's after party. Right. They're like,
Well, and he walks off through the crowd, and you see that there is, you see him kind of come to an intersection or intersect a young kid. Who's kind of standing there and also has a mechanical mass. It's a little girl, and hers is like a big moth with like big like wings that come out the side of it. And she just and like they seem to exchange words, and she and him both walk off into the distance. Like they walk off into like a side room. You see that there's like a door to the side of the garden. It's a big walled garden. Where there's two of these guards, and they nod to them and open the door and let them through.
God damn it, Hank, right. Busiak, the shit we've been doing for the amount of time we've been doing, we're pretty much employees. Do we agree? Do we have an accord?
Yeah, I feel like, I think that's pretty, is there a reality in which we follow them?
I think you're right. That's a fantastic idea.
Judging by the expression on Joe's face, that could lead to some pretty interesting results.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those situations where you ask for forgiveness, not for permission. Let's head that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, who drank the punch?
I don't think anyone drank
it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone
did. I mentioned drinking the punch. I don't know if he would have saddled up next to him. He probably would have drank a bit of punch.
Would have drank the punch.
Drank
the Kool-Aid. So
roll a power roll.
No. Power roll.
I got a critical success. Exactly when I needed it.
Success. Thank you very much.
This.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention I have three silencers as well.
No. I've only got one. I've actually got Axel. I've got Axel silencer. Shit! I should have given it back to him.
Oh yeah.
That would have been awesome. Shit.
Benedict, you drink this, and it's like, and you feel very flush, like more than drinking an alcoholic beverage should. And there's a moment where maybe at the edges of your vision, you start to get some dancing lights,
Uh-oh.
You know? And, but you're able to shake it off. You didn't really drink that much. So it's like, you're like, oh, this is special wine. This is special juice.
Like Minso Marsh.
Like psychedelic?
Like psychedelic, like, yeah.
Well, I'm in for a party, fellas.
Benedict is ready to go.
I did that thing you're not supposed to do at the party, and I drank the punch. Let's go follow him.
Let's fucking go.
I've got a gun to give it back to him. I just realized.
So, how should we approach these guards? Should we, like, just fucking kill them, or...
Well, I don't know if we can get into the meeting proper, because there's probably only a handful of these... I can't believe I'm even saying this, but, like, these demons, they're going to recognize us, but maybe we get close enough to overhear their meeting. And I doubt these guards know all of them, you know, by their mask. So if we can convince these guards that we're part of the meeting, but not necessarily go into the meeting proper, and just listen to them, if you know what I'm saying.
I thought we're not asking permission, Hank.
You're right. Fuck my plan. Go ahead.
All right.
That got me.
Okay. So what are you doing? Like,
going
to those guards.
I think Hank would recognize that Benedict is set, you know, even if he's acting a little loopy after this punch, he does seem to be having a way with words today, so maybe he would suggest Benedict's all right with that, maybe trying to convince these guys that they need to get past there.
Okay. So
I should mention I do have a flashbang.
I don't know if we should maybe not go.
There's like an old man, like with one of those masks, kind of in a powdered wig. He like is walk by you guys and just like kind of turns.
Gangbang! Like, I said gangbang.
And just like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, okay.
He's like, thumbs up.
He gives you a thumbs up.
So we got options. We could sort of make a distraction and try to sneak in, or we could go the other route.
Well, the way I look at it, we can use the flashbang after we ask to go in. If it doesn't work, we can't ask to go in after we use the flashbang. You know what I mean?
All right. Thanks. I like your logic.
When we're not asking, we're walking. You need to let me show you something, Hank. You need to command the room. You put your chest up, and there's like all this metals jingle as he puts his chest up on the pigeon head. So, and the pigeon head even like goes up as we walk as if we own the room. Now walk with me.
Walk.
And Hank will start limping after.
They're going to try and
hold on my leg.
Of course, he's limping.
Walking
gonna
with purpose.
He's going to try and walk through the checkpoint.
You guys walk up to these guys, and the guards, again, they have these halberds and pistols, and they do that thing where they hold the halberds in a cross across the door.
Excuse me.
And they
we're supposed to be at that meeting.
And one of them looks at the other one and says something in Tartesian, and he reaches in his jacket and pulls out like a piece of paper and looks at it and looks up at you guys. And says something back to him in Tartesian, and the other one says, he's like, I'm afraid we cannot allow you entrance at this time. There is a conclave occurring.
I'm fairly sure we're supposed to be part of the conclave. We've got invitations. We even have a +1 that we left behind.
Oh, I'm sure you are not a part of the conclave. You hear behind you.
Hank turns
around.
What does he see?
You see, it's weird because you see a man who also has a mechanical mask, but he has the mechanical mask of a man. And as he pulls off the mask, you see that the mask is his own face. It's just a mechanical version of his own face. And he pulls it up, and it's Timothy Bale.
Damn, that's who I was going to use. I was going to be like, well, Bale's really not going to like this.
He's not going to be happy with us.
This is the director.
We broke some promises.
Yeah, this is the director.
This is the director. The guy the demon, I forgot where we summoned him, but he was like very logical and basically took us backstage to get out of like a sticky situation.
He took you guys, he's the guy who guided you get out of the night world at the Dorchester.
Great. Busiak throws a flashbang.
All right, go ahead and roll your flashbang roll. I'm afraid we have a bit of a vote going on. I need to squeeze by you here. And he turns to the guys and he says in Tartesian, and you can't understand, but he's definitely saying, don't let these guys in. He says, none of your concern, gentlemen. I think you have a, don't you guys have marks to be on? And he kind of reaches in his waistband and pulls out like a small notebook. He's like, yeah, in the main hall. I think your destiny awaits. And he gives you like a wink. And then the mask that's pulled up on top of his head also winks. And he slides into the door.
Right. I guess you guys know that guy too. Right. You guys know a lot of folks here.
And he too had this medallion around his.
He'll holler out as he gets past the halberds.
Right.
It's Bale. For old time's sake, is Abigail here?
And so the door is open. You know, the door is open and he's through. And like, and the guards are kind of holding the door open, but kind of holding you guys back. And the door, and you see that there are dozens upon dozens of people in this big circular room, and there's like a set
that
of
he's
chairs
going into?
That he's going into, and he's like 2 or 3 feet in the room, and everyone is wearing these mechanical masks, and they all turn, all of them, and you can hear the whirring and clicking of all of their masks as they all turn to you. Men, women, some children of all different ages, all different makeups, like they're all turning in these all these bizarre masks. And Bale, he had pulled his mask down and he pulls it back up and he smiles. He says, didn't I tell you, Hank? Didn't I write it on that note found back in Arbus's house before Benji murdered him? Didn't you see it? Didn't you see what I wrote? I always knew it was going to come to this. You're looking for Abby. And you're going to find her. Stay safe, gentlemen. And he brings the mask down right as the door closes back. And that, my friends, is where we are going to call it for this one. Everyone,
fucking ominous.
Everyone watching live, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back. And we're going to see where this goes. You guys.
Very nice. Very nice.
You sons of bitches. Thank you so much.
Quick question what was the t-shirt preference?
Oh, the t-shirt preference.
Must just switch gears too quickly.
Just real quick. Let's look at the t-shirts.
that cinematic cut off. Now let's just go to admin directly to
sorry. It seems like there's a unanimous I want you to see it.
Oh wow.
That surprises me.
Sounds cool. Like the sounds like the patrons. Sounds like the patrons are gonna get that T-shirt.
Okay.
I'd say we print
both versions.
Yeah, we should.
And then we can wear the car coats. It'll be like staff shirts.
Staff shirts.
All right. Everyone, so that we're the staff.
Yeah.
We're part of the conclave.
Everyone listening. Everyone watching. Although, hey, someone did say I think Brad's idea of a green box pocket would be sick too. Like a whole
same motherfucker that denied me my axe.
Nope,
that's
someone else. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here for the finale. Again, we are going to take a quick break. We're just going to get up and hydrate and whatnot. And then we're going to be back. And by the way, I say this next one, let's just go as long as it takes. Let's run it all the way to the end. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
So diapers on, catheters in. we're gonna
check,
make
check.
Yeah, I know Dace is already locked and loaded. All right.
Let me Excellent. Unhook here.
Oh no. No. Why?
Holy mate.
All right. We will be back here in a bit, everyone. And as always, remember, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.